Hello, Adobe Radio. It's Radioactive Dad Brett with a brief message before this episode starts. This is a lost episode. We've never aired this episode. It's actually the second time that Nathan and I ever sat down to record Radioactive Dads, and chronologically, it was recorded almost a year ago. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a youthful Nathan Kress and Brett Davern from at least 1 year ago trying to make a podcast. I hope you have fun. Enjoy.
So take a knee, use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey, tire pressure, playing catch, time up, corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dad buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive Dads.
You can record whenever. I think you gotta pull that thing a little closer to you.
Really?
This time.
Okay. Yeah. Let me. If there's anything, because I'm not used to this part. So
you're a little quiet last time. We gotta speak up, baby. Let the world hear you.
Well, see, that's the. Normally, I'm a very loud person.
Speak up,
my wife
bug.
Tells me, "Shut your." I'm walking out the door.
It's never gonna end.
This was a massive mistake. I'm gonna call your mother and find out what stupid nickname you have.
We could do 1,000 episodes of this show. I'll call you my little doodle bug the whole time.
You'd give me. Visions of my babysitter, which would be really weird because that's...
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah, I don't want you to be like my babysitter.
Right.
That's gross, dude.
I don't want to be your babysitter.
Can you imagine if you were my babysitter?
Oh, man. Oh, man. You'd be...
I would be so messed up. I would not be the...
I'm not that bad.
At that age, everyone's that bad.
I used to babysit kids.
Really?
Yeah. Little neighbor kids down below me when I was in... Down below our house, we like my house, my parents' house. They still live in the same house, by the way.
Wow.
My parents still live in the same house that I was brought home from the hospital to.
Same here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We have so much in common. It's crazy.
I know.
They bought the house, you know, like the year, like I was like right before I was born, they moved in, and then they brought me home from the hospital to the same house. They're still living there. It's in a suburb of Seattle, and what was my point? What were we talking about?
Oh man,
I lost track.
Was it
dad brain?
What stupid nickname? No, not a stupid nickname. Oh, you're babysitting people below.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's up a hill, and so there's like another little neighborhood down below the house, and there was a house right down there that had like two younger kids, and they might have been like not that much younger than me, maybe like 6 years younger, something like that. So like not. When you become adults, it's not that much of a gap at all.
Right.
But when you're 16 and they're 10, you know, and you just go watch them for the afternoon or something.
And they let you watch their... Wow.
Yeah, we just run around and play baseball in the backyard and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, hide and seek.
You're the only male babysitter I feel like I've ever heard of.
I was the best Manny who ever lived.
Best Manny.
I'd only
they show the Manny's based on you.
I would only do it every once in a while. And pretty much the whole time we just play like Sega Genesis and then play hide and seek and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it was easy.
Yeah. At that age, it's probably a lot easier. You can just, play video games.
I didn't want to babysit, like, actual babies.
Yeah. I feel bad for our babysitter.
Really?
We actually had her babysit Rosie for the first time so that we could watch Endgame. Last week. That's how behind the curve we are.
Wow.
But we were finally like, we're getting a babysitter. We're going to go watch Endgame.
That was your first babysitter?
That was our first. Well, because we've had my parents or other family members do it. This was the first time it was a non-family member watching her.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah?
There was a couple points in Endgame where it was a little bit slower where all of a sudden I was like, she's probably waking up from her nap right now.
Really?
She's going to want a snack. I hope the snack goes well. And I got totally sucked out of the movie. But she did a great job.
Yeah?
She was alive.
Did you snap back in for Iron Man dying?
Yeah.
It's been enough weeks by now. We can
spoil
it. Yeah,
that was actually, unfortunately, that was spoiled for me. Thanks, Twitter.
Oh, it was?
Well, not necessarily that he died, but all I saw was a screenshot of, or like a gif of him saying, you know, I am Iron Man, and that was it. And at that point when I realized that, I was like, I hit the home screen and was like, no! I don't want to see this. So I don't know. I didn't know exactly what happened. I just knew that at some point he would have a gauntlet of some kind on his hand.
Oh yeah.
But yeah,
that was pretty cool.
It was very cool.
That was cool.
I don't understand anyone who really has a negative reaction to that movie.
Okay. Well, get ready.
I should have known.
Buckle in. No, I actually didn't mind that movie so much. But I'm kind of over the whole superhero movie thing in general. I just sort of. I just feel like it's too many now, and because I know they're just going to go on in perpetuity for the rest of our lives, I feel like there's no more stakes in them, really. It's just sort of like, here comes another one, and then we'll have another one, and then we'll have another one. The bloom is off the rose a bit,
I guess,
for me.
As far as I'm concerned, the question is what happens now that Avengers is done? Like, that whole series and the ones that led up to it, it all built up to this kind of ultimate story.
Well, yeah, but now, they're doing like, Black Widow and all that, so they're doing more of those movies.
Now is the question of, like, now that that whole saga is truly done, are the movies after that going to be as good as, like, just standalone? They don't really fit into the canon anywhere, you know?
Right,
so
right.
That's the question. Now it's going to be, now is the big decider. But dude, I cried. I cried.
You did?
A couple times.
Was that because you were worried about the babysitter or because of the movie?
One time was the babysitter.
She's but probably choking on something. I know she is.
I guarantee it. She probably didn't cut the grapes long ways. She probably didn't use the grape cutter we supplied that cuts it into four long ways pieces.
Don't tell. You have a grape cutter?
I have a grape cutter. It's actually amazing. It's the greatest for fruit salad.
You know, we could make a coffee table book on sentences you never thought you'd say.
Yeah, I'm in that phase of my life now where stuff comes out like that and I go, oh no.
Right.
I'm a 26-year-old man. And I'm talking about the delights of a grape cutter for the construction of fruit salad.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think it would come to this?
Not this early.
No.
I was thinking it'd be more like a 38 thing.
Yeah, but have you ever tried the grape cutter?
The grape cutter is the greatest.
We got a grape cutter.
We got a grape cutter. It's like on Amazon. Get it Prime. Get it tomorrow.
Oh, man. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
It's good. It's good for the choking, but it's also great for... It's also, we use it more now for fruit salad than actually for the baby.
I believe that's actually the tagline for the grape cutter. It's great for the choking.
Great for the choking.
It's great for the choking.
There's, I would buy that.
There's two markets for that grape cutter. There's one that's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that tagline, there's a whole nother market that I don't even know if we should bring up.
No, probably not on this
podcast.
No,
probably not. No. Weirdos.
Yeah. Those weirdos.
It's great for the choking.
Just end it at that. You're gonna have to buy it to find out what that means.
Yeah. See, we don't have family in town, and so because I'm from Seattle, she's from Atlanta, and there's no aunts and uncles, like any of our brothers and sisters that live in LA either or anything. So we're in LA all by ourselves with all of our friends that we've made over the years. And the thing about having kids in that situation is that all of your friends. When you're pregnant, when we were collectively pregnant, even though she did all the work.
I was victim to saying we.
Yeah, I gained the extra 10 pounds too, okay?
Right, the sympathy weight.
All of your friends say, you know, call me anytime you need a babysitter. Mm-hmm. I'm around, call me anytime you need a free babysitter. You guys want to go get some sushi? Call me, I'm around. And then you have the first kid, which we did 4 years ago. And they were kind of around for the first little bit. I think we had friends babysit maybe two or three times. And then that's it. And then by the time the second kid comes around, none of them even volunteer anymore.
Right.
They're like, no, we're doing our own thing. Yeah. So the babysitter thing, the unrelated babysitter, we were doing that kind of early on, not like super early, you know, but I'd say maybe 4 days in. No, you know, a couple months in. I don't know. Whenever it was normal time.
Was it at least like a neighbor kid, like someone that you knew, or was it just?
Well, you know, let's see. With the boy who was born first, it took a lot longer to get the babysitters in there because we didn't know anyone, and
it's hard to trust people and whatever.
But I think when he was about 6 months, he started taking these little Mommy and Me gymnastics classes and things. And so then A few months after that, some of the coaches and teachers that were doing that would then babysit him. So we had known them for a few months already. Okay. And some of them still babysit both of them. But then by the time the girl came along, we had this like little bullpen of babysitters. Mm. So we didn't, you know, we already knew all of them right off the bat. Who would you go with?
We went with actually our, well, probably the safest choice you could possibly make. We went with our pastor's daughter.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Tough to go wrong on that.
How old?
She's, I think she's 14.
Oh, that's pretty young.
She's young. Yeah. She needed like a ride.
Right.
To get here.
Oh, now you're that dad.
Yeah. I was like,
you're the dad driving the babysitter home and everything.
We even offered.
Can you not put him in an Uber?
You could. They live really close, though.
Oh, okay.
So it was like just.
Well, no, I'm just saying like the rules of Uber. Can you Uber
a minor?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules on that.
Yeah, I've never, believe it or not, I never tried.
So now you're that dad doing that awkward drive home with the babysitter. Yeah.
So how's ninth grade?
How's school going?
Yeah. What are you learning?
Yeah.
I need to bust my repertoire out now while I can.
What kind of TV shows are you watching?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. What did you think of Iron Man dying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't see it? Oh, shoot.
Oh,
man.
God darn it.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just ruined the whole thing.
So how'd it go, though? She's fine? She made it?
Yeah, she did great.
Everything's good?
Uh-huh. Fortunately, half of it, we played it safe. Half of it was over a nap.
Oh, perfect.
So, like, we put her down and then left. So we knew, like, an hour and a half of it would be just nothing.
Oh, you went in the middle of the day?
We did a matinee, bro.
What the?
What Gotta is... save some money.
You guys, man, risk takers, adventurers.
Look, I mean.
Babysitter for the first time, middle of the day.
Yeah, because we knew it would be over a nap. We weren't just going to, like, plop her in her arms and be like, all right, it's a 3-hour movie. We'll be back, you know, in 5 hours. So we, you know, tried to hedge our bets a little bit.
I think for the first few babysitters we had, we would make it in the evening so that they would already be down.
Right.
Like, we'd put them down, and then some young kid would come over and watch my Netflix for, like, 4 or 5 hours.
Exactly.
And then I would come back, and we'd say, like, did they wake up? And they'd go, no. I'd go, great, well, here's your money for watching Netflix. Now get out of here.
Yep, exactly. And that's what we were going to do. But the problem is now Endgame's been out for so long. There were so few showings. The only nighttime showing was 9 p.m.
Uh-huh.
We're like, we would get back at 1.
Yeah.
And we're not going to make this 14-year-old girl.
Well, also, you wouldn't stay awake that long.
Exactly.
In the theater.
I fell asleep at, well, we went to the beach for the first time yesterday. So I was like wiped out. I went to sleep at probably 9:30.
Yeah.
We sat down to like watch something on Netflix and I was gone.
Out.
Just completely destroyed.
That's how it happened. That's how I am, man.
Yeah.
I wake up at like 7 a.m. every day, not just because of work, but just even like on the weekends.
Oh, you have that old man body clock.
Oh, yeah, man.
You can't even sleep in if you wanted to.
Yeah. And I find myself saying to younger people, like, it's good. You get a lot done during the day. Like, I'm like trying to talk. And by the way, I also just said young people. Uh-huh. Like, I am an old man. Oh, my God, what's happening to me?
Oh, it's on now.
If I start calling it the Twitter, just somebody put me out of my misery.
I'm just going to throw this right in.
Just do it.
Just.
If I start adding the before things,
mm-hmm.
forget it. Yeah, what else has been going on lately?
Oh, man. Well, so the beach day was a good thing. That ended up being great.
Uh-huh.
But the week before that, we had our first foray into the emergency room with Rosie. That was some garbage.
Yeah, what happened?
We were on vacation, actually. We were up in Big Bear. And for the past 4 weeks before that, she had just been sick on and off, which is some kind of viral cold thing, got a sinus infection and stuff, and was just kind of miserable. And she finally started getting better and didn't have to take antibiotics or anything, but we went on this trip, and pretty much the day that we got there, that night, she had a really bad fever and was just inconsolable, lost her appetite, just wouldn't eat.
Huh.
And at first, we were trying to explain it away because she'd never been that sick before. We were like, okay, we know that she's got a couple teeth coming in, so that could be some of the fever.
How was the drive up there?
It wasn't bad. It's like 2.5 hours.
I was going to say, it's a bit of a road trip.
And what's crazy is we left right at what was supposed to be her nap time, and we were expecting her to take a nap.
Right.
But she did not take a nap that day. She stayed up the entire time, which was crazy.
Uh-huh.
So we already were like, yeesh, she's going to be in a bad mood. She's going to be cranky. She didn't sleep. And so that night was really bad. She was waking up constantly. So we didn't know, like, okay, teething, or overtired because she didn't take a nap?
Sure.
Or did we get like her pajama combination wrong because the heat turned on in the middle of the night and that's why she's really hot? So like there were so many variables because we weren't at home.
I thought for a second you just meant like she's a very fashionable child.
Yes.
She will not wear My Little Pony mixed with Dora the Explorer.
Anything short of just Gucci. For her night-night
time.
She's
like, Dad, you put on the Louis Vuitton top and the Gucci bottom. This injustice will not stand.
I will cry for hours. But so she did. She was just waking up constantly. But there were so many variables. We didn't know if it was just one of those things or if something was wrong.
Right.
So she had a really bad day. But then the next day, she was basically fine.
Okay.
But then the day after that, it got really bad really fast. She was burning up hot. And
during the day.
During the day. And so we took her temperature, and it was like, it said like 105.9 or something. So like the limit before you start getting serious issues. We were like, okay, we're in Big Bear.
Yeah.
There's one hospital.
Yep.
So I'm going to try and see if I can call the hospital and see if there's just a pediatrician who can see her rather than going to the emergency room. So I called and they were like, nope, you'd have to be a walk-in and just wait and see if someone doesn't show up. So
we're
like, okay, the ER is our only choice.
Oh my gosh.
So we go to the ER, and even though we're the only ones in the ER, we wait for like a half hour, which is just how it is at the ER.
It's not even ski season.
No.
What is the hospital in Big Bear even doing?
Unknown.
Big Bear's in the mountains. It's like a ski resort town.
Yeah.
If there's no snow on the ground, they should be empty.
Yeah. Unless it's, you know, twisted ankles or whatever for scenic hikes.
Oh, for hikes, I guess.
You know, because it's still pretty active.
Yeah, so. But you got a baby with 105 degree temperature.
You'd think that would take priority. Like, we don't know what her issue is. Like, that guy's got to put some ice on it and let us go first because she might have something serious going on.
Yeah, of course.
So that was miserable because she was crying nonstop. And there was just nothing that we could do. No amount of, like, comforting and consoling was possible. We finally got her in, and, you know, the doctor, who's not a pediatrician, he's just an ER doctor, he was just kind of taking stabs in the dark and was like, okay, let's, you know, take her temperature and just get a baseline. Her heart rate was, like, 220 beats per minute. Crazy fast, really bad temperature. And he was like, the only thing that we can do is just run a ton of tests. And running a ton of tests on a baby.
On a screaming child.
Yeah, it was the worst. So they were trying to be, you know, as nice about it as possible. They brought in like a little DVD player and like put on some movies and stuff to try to distract her. It kind of worked a little bit. But like first.
Yeah, but once she saw Iron Man die.
Yeah, then there's like, what's the point?
You're like, wrong movie. No.
I don't know how they got that pirated version here in the ER so fast. Yeah. But so like the first thing was doing flu swabs. So it was doing two big swabs up the nose, which not too bad, not too invasive.
Yeah, but they don't like that.
Yeah, they don't understand what's going on. So, you know, that made her cry and everything. And that was fine. Well, first she had to get, you know, her temperature, which they do it rectally. So that's not comfortable. So that was the first thing. Then it was the swabs. And then after that, the swabs came back negative. So he's like, okay, the next thing that we check for is UTIs, because that happens with babies all the time.
Wait, first swab for a flu.
For the flu.
Don't have the flu.
Yeah, don't have the flu. So once they got negative on that, then he was like, now we check for a UTI.
Uh-huh.
So they had to so bad. They had to do a catheter on a baby.
Oh, no.
It was like the most cringing. Oh, it was horrible. And she, like, obviously doesn't understand what's going on.
How are you guys doing this whole time? How's mom and dad doing?
Not great. I mean, you have to, like, you just have to put on a strong face for her and try to, like, encourage her in the midst of this while you're, like, holding her arms down. You know? It was bad. But, you know, you just do everything you can.
But you got to be freaked out, too.
Yeah, because you just don't. At this point, every result is negative, and they start with, like, the easy stuff first. So it goes from, like, okay, it's just the flu, you know, drink lots of fluids, to, like, okay, UTI, it can become a kidney problem if you don't treat it, so you got to get... So then I'm thinking, okay, what if it's not a UTI? Because the next thing after that has got to be, like, pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know? So they finally, they get that test to work, and we're just waiting, and it's negative. So we're like, okay,
so now we really don't know what's going on.
Now it's something even worse.
And the temperature's still high?
The temperature was still high. They gave her, like, Tylenol and stuff to kind of bring it down. So she was starting to get a little bit more comfortable. And then they're like, okay, the doctor came in and she's like, she's crying, but there's no tears, which means that she's dehydrated.
Okay.
So we need to get an IV.
Oh no.
So then we're like, oh, come on. Like she's not going to put up with having that in her arm and like needing to hold it still because you can't bend your arm. You can't do anything. You can't tell a one and a half year old.
I've had, I've had IVs before where they can't even find the vein on me, and right. I'm an adult sitting still.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine a squirmy, wiggly little baby.
Exactly. So we're just dreading this happening. Ugh. He's like, well, while the IV is in, we're going to do blood tests and do a whole panel and just see if we can figure out if there's, you know, some kind of infection or something. So we at least got two for one there. And we knew that fluids were going to help, because if she was just uncomfortable and everything, then that was going to be a problem. But that process was the worst, because they put the IV in and it's tough. You know, baby veins, like, he got it actually on the first try. Nice. I was amazed. But she kept pulling her arm in to try to pull it away, which yeah. makes the IV not work. So then they had to make a splint, like a baby fiberglass splint, and wrap her whole arm
oh
so
my
that she
God.
Couldn't bend her arm, which made her mad.
Sure.
So then all this stuff is happening. They get the blood. They put in the fluids. They make basically like a cast for her arm. And at that point, it's like, okay, now we have to wait 45 minutes for the blood results to come back. And at this point, it's way past what her nap time was supposed to be. She's exhausted.
Ugh.
And she finally just gives up and falls asleep in London's arms, which that alone is unheard of for her. She's so active and so squirmy and so not cuddly in that way that she has to sleep in her crib or in her car seat. So the fact that she even fell asleep on a human is like unbelievable. She must have been that tired.
Right.
So she finally fell asleep and she woke up and she was still just not feeling great. And they come back in and they just say, all right, so look, we got the blood results back. She has some kind of very bad infection. Her white count's super high.
Really?
But we don't know what it is, so we're going to knock it down with a ton of antibiotics in her IV. She should feel better. And then it's going to take 3 days to know what the infection is, to know if the treatment is effective or not. Because they have to grow a blood culture.
Oh, my God.
To, like, test the bacteria and see what's in there. So at this point, we're like, okay, well, we don't have anything. We don't know what to do. So they just, like, did, like, a blanket antibiotic. And at this point, she's still just miserable and just having a horrible, horrible time. And they basically, at that point, they were like, well, we gave her antibiotics. There's nothing we can do. I recommend that you go back home so that you can be by your pediatrician and by a children's hospital.
Yeah.
Because they said, if this goes bad, she's going to be in an ambulance going down the mountain because there's no children's hospital here that could take her.
Yeah, the nearest place has got to be a couple hours away,
like,
or at least an hour and a half or something.
Yeah, so we were like, okay, we just got to – they gave her, like, some Benadryl to make her sleepy so that we could try and just book it home mm-hmm. after that. My parents, like, we called them, and I was like, we got to pack up the house. We got to go. So they, like, packed up while we were getting checked out of the ER.
Yeah.
Finally brought her back, and then all of a sudden, by the next day, she was, like, mostly fine.
Huh.
And on her way back, and we couldn't figure it out. But then we got the blood results back. She had strep pneumonia.
Oh.
Like, two of the most horrible things.
Oh, my God.
And she just, like, was dealing with that, probably from all the sickness that she had had from the weeks leading up to it.
Yeah.
But what's crazy, what really bothered me is she was immunized for it. She's had 3 of her 4 doses for that exact thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know if the vaccination didn't work or if, because we delayed the final dose because she was so sick. She was due to get one.
Right.
And we delayed it.
Huh.
Because, you're not supposed to immunize them when they're sick.
Yeah, they don't want to give them a bunch of stuff at once either.
Right. Their immune system's already compromised.
Right.
So we had to, like, wait on it. And I don't know if that was our fault.
But everything's good.
Yeah, so everything's good now. But that was a trial, man.
Dude, I'm sorry, man.
It was awful. But she was so brave. Like, imagining being her age and getting thrown into that situation, just getting poked and prodded and
yeah.
constantly just being made miserable, the fact that she stood up to that at all made me just so unbelievably proud of her. Because I have done worse in the doctor's office
sure.
than she did, honestly.
Yeah.
And the fact that she made it through that at all was just unbelievable. The strength of children is just crazy.
Yeah, well, but also for you guys too, because it's, you know, it's super scary for them, obviously, because they're the ones going through it, but for you guys too, because I remember, you know, I remember like our first sick scare thing like yeah. that and going to the hospital, and like it's rough, man, because it's scary, like, you know, you're dad and you want to be the strong one and you want to have the solutions and all that kind of stuff. And then something happens like that and everything's just completely out of your hands.
Yeah.
You feel so helpless.
Yeah. And that's like we as dads, like it's innate, inborn in us that we have to be like the fixer.
Yeah.
You know, the person who knows what's going on.
For sure.
The person who not only knows but has a plan.
Yep.
You know, to deal with it and to make our kids feel better, make our spouse feel better. And to have that completely just removed from the equation and you're just sitting there waiting for someone else to make those decisions and have some other plan, hoping that they're right or that they even know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, it's weird. It's almost humiliating in a way.
Well, you just,
like,
feel so powerless.
Yeah. Yeah, you just feel like you failed.
Yeah.
You know, as a dad, like that's part of the job description.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Yeah. How's London doing the whole thing?
She was great. Like, obviously it sucked for both of us, but of she handled it like a champ.
Well, that's good.
It was exhausting, and she was definitely the main source of comfort. But what was funny is I think they actually bonded a lot in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, since getting out of the hospital, she's been a lot more, like, cuddly and kind of clingy and everything.
Rosie has?
Yeah, Rosie has.
Yeah.
So that has been kind of a weird change that we've sort of been okay with, because she was never cuddly before this, and we're like, okay.
Look, the road that we went through to get here sucks, mm-hmm.
But the end
since
results,
we went through it,
yes.
You want to give daddy some hugs?
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yep, the ends justify those means for
right.
sure.
It's funny, our first hospital experience with our boy was very similar. It was the middle of the night, though, and he woke up just screaming, like, out of nowhere, which is the scariest thing ever, is you go from just dead sleep to, like, this noise, like, just this blood-curdling screaming that will not stop.
Oh.
And he's just screaming and screaming and screaming. And I think he was maybe, like, 2.5, something like that. And he's just screaming, 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 and we were on vacation. We're up visiting my parents.
It's always on vacation.
Always on
it?
Vacation.
Always at the worst time.
And you know, I think maybe, look, I'm no doctor, obviously, but I think maybe that's got something to do with it. They're in a different place.
Yeah.
They couldn't have whatever they have leading to that. Like you said, she was sick weeks beforehand or whatever. But I think all of a sudden they're not in their bed. They're not in their house. By the way, Big Bear altitude and
right.
stuff. So yeah. There's all these different variables.
Yeah.
So we were up in Seattle and he's screaming and screaming and we go in and grab him and he's just, like, burning up. Like, you could just feel it, you know, sweaty and hot. And
could he tell you what was going on at that age? Could he use any words to describe it?
No, I mean, he couldn't stop screaming long enough, you know. I think he just kept saying, I'm hot, or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And so we're like, oh, man, he's got a history of croup, which is this, like, horrible, like, sounding. It's like just this horrible, like, barky cough.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that. And then because he's coughing so much, he can't catch his breath. And it's all very scary.
Uh-huh.
And we bring him into the bed, you know, we're like, hey, calm down, buddy. And like, he's so hot. And I'm like stripping his pajamas off, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he's just down to his diaper and he's coughing and coughing and coughing. And I'm like, oh boy, he's got this croupy cough going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, like he kind of starts like his eyes kind of are rolling back in his head. And he almost looks like he's like passing out because he's just so upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it. Get in the car.
Go.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. We're going. And you know, long story short, we get to the hospital there was a pediatrician there, luckily. And so we get to the hospital and we walk in and they just strip him down immediately like we did at home already, but we got him dressed again to go, of course. And they strip him down immediately. They bring in a bunch of ice packs and stuff. And the next thing you know, like him and I are just like sitting on the bed. He's sitting on top of me. He's basically naked. He's got ice packs everywhere, a blanket up over the ice packs. And then he's just watching Daniel Tiger on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And we sat there for like a couple hours. And they gave him a steroid because they can do that with the – or they do that for croup.
Oh, okay.
So they give him that steroid right away. And a couple hours later, they calm down and everything's back to normal. But it's so scary when it's happening.
So it was just a croup flare-up?
Just like a flare-up, yeah. And I think – you know, I think – like I said, I think it's just them being out of their routine and their little bodies freak out and they don't know what's going on.
Right.
And it's really scary, though, when it happens.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You keep reminding yourself, you know – people have been doing this for millennia, you know, it's probably nothing or probably something that can be easily solved. You know, let's not go to the worst, but your brain does that. It's only natural.
Yeah. And what sucks too is, well, in a way, I guess it was a relief because it confirmed like we did the right thing by going to the ER. But like with strep pneumonia, with that strain of bacteria, it can become like, I think meningitis and a bunch of other like really hardcore, like she could have died.
Oh,
if
yeah.
we didn't do something about it and get her on hardcore antibiotics, it could have been really, really bad.
It's weird to think about. I mean, it's obviously awful to think about that kind of thing, but yeah, you're right. I mean, modern medicine, man.
Yeah.
It's like, it's when you need it,
you're
really glad it's there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cause yeah. I mean, imagine you're like just out on the frontier back in the day or something and that happens like
baby that's... wakes up screaming in your covered wagon and they're just burning up and
forget
like,
it
there's nothing I can
not
do
a lot
you.
Of antibiotics in sight
being a parent back then I just it must have been so much harder because there's just nothing that you can do for your children
totally
there's no toys that you can give there's no iPhone to calm them down you know like think of just thinking about that like when Rosie has been at her crankiest, and normally she's so playful and so active, but that's when we always know that something's just really bothering her, is when she won't play and she won't eat, because those are her two favorite things in the world to do.
Right.
The only thing that there is like Sesame Street. That's whipping out the big guns. And if that doesn't work, then we are going to the hospital.
Do you go, so pivoting a bit, do you, like, entertainment-wise for the kid?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know, there's this weird, you know, there's stuff with parenting all the time. There's always, like, this parenting shaming all the time, you know?
I
don't think it's an L.A.-specific thing either, This just happens everywhere. Yep. Like, whether we're traveling, if we're in Seattle, we're in Atlanta, we're in L.A., whatever. Like, people give you this side eye all the time, you know? And it's usually the people without kids, by the way.
Oh,
and you
want to be like, no idea.
Yeah, well, you try it sometime, you know? You try sitting at a restaurant with kids just screaming, you know? How do you feel about the handing them the devices and stuff like that? Because on the last episode, we talked about what age do you get them a phone.
Yeah.
But now I'm more talking about, like, when was that first time that you broke down? Or did you talk about it beforehand? Because we went into parenting with every intention of, like, we're never going to
we're not screen people.
And then, you know, sort of like a couple years in, you're like, here, just take it.
Yeah.
I need a half an hour.
Right, right. That's been a big, big question for us and kind of a struggle in the last probably 6 months as it's become more prevalent.
Yeah.
In the beginning,
as she gets older.
Yeah. In the beginning, we were really strict about it. Like, none at all, because she, you know, if there was even a screen passively somewhere, like if we were in someone else's house and there was a TV on, she would, you know, we would just, the look in her eyes, we just didn't like it, you know? Because at that point, they
the
don't.
The zombie look?
Yeah. They don't understand anything.
Did you try to, when you went to someone else's house, did you try to, like, block the TV?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah, we were all, it was full on. And, like, if people would try to show her something, like a cartoon or something, we'd be like, oh, we're not, I'm sorry, we're not, can we just shut that? We're not doing that yet. Yeah. And it was always just so, like, awkward and cringy. We didn't want to do it because that's, like, just kind of a normal thing to do. But what we at least wanted to do was get to the point where we knew they could at least maybe understand some words before getting to that point.
Uh-huh.
Or just at the very worst case, like, as a last-ditch thing where they are truly inconsolable. And we know that there's nothing, like, wrong with them, but they just need something to, like, break that pattern where they can't stop themselves from freaking out and they can't calm down.
Right.
There was a couple times when she was a lot younger that we would do that. But now that she's understanding a lot more, we don't just passively turn on anything. It has to be something educational, numbers, letters, you know, songs, something that she can get into. And we're seeing the effects of that now. Like, she's, her favorite thing to do is go E-I-E-I-E-I because she's trying to say Old MacDonald. So she's like starting to
absorb
it. I
thought she was just a big Nelly fan.
Yeah, she is. That too.
Andale, andale, mama, E-I, E-I.
It's her favorite song. That's what we sing to her as she's going to sleep at night.
London's like, Nathan!
It's time!
What have you been playing for her?
Just some Nelly, babe! So we have loosened up on it a little bit, but we try to at least limit the quantity.
Yeah.
And then, like, when we're out, the only thing really that we'll do, there's this app called Starfall ABCs that's, like, kind of interactive. And literally, it's just the alphabet and words that start with those letters.
Right.
That's the entire thing. And so she's really into it, and she's starting to, like, do the sounds with it and stuff. So as long as we're seeing that she's growing from it and it's not a passive thing, and we never really just, like, sit her in front of something and walk away.
Yeah.
That's very, very rare. It's usually only when, like, someone's out of the house and somebody's got to cook. Where it's like, we can't.
Yeah, no, there are times when you're like, I have to get this thing done right now.
Right.
Like, but you got to be able to entertain yourself.
Right. But the only other times are, like, when she's really, you know, stressing out about something and we want to be with her for it anyway.
Yeah.
And so we're actively engaging and, like, talking through the show and, like, you know, pointing to the letters and stuff. So as long as we're there and backing it up with more information, we've loosened up on it a little bit.
Or if she wants to watch iCarly.
Yes.
Then it's free-for-all.
Technically, yes.
All good.
Yeah, what we have actually let her do, and which is probably not great for this age, is we let her watch my cartoon that I do, my Netflix show, Pinky Malenky. It's insane and probably not great for a mind that young, but, you know, maybe she'll recognize Dad's voice somewhere in there. The other thing that we actually let her watch with abandon is IndyCar. mostly just because she's in the house while I'm watching it, but we don't try to stop her from doing it.
Yeah, there's cars going around in a circle. It's
exactly.
Fine.
There's not that much going on, and it's she fine. Loves it. Cars and airplanes are like her favorite two things. She loves machines.
Yeah.
So when she sees the stuff going, yesterday actually we were watching a race, and she started doing the, you know, the classic like mm-hmm. like that sound effect. She started doing that on one of the shots. She started going. E-o. I was like, yes, that's my girl. That's her. I was so mm-hmm. proud. Yeah. So if that's like, I have dreams of like us wanting to go like get out in the garage and like work on the old 65 Mustang together and to be like, Tazi, I think it's the carburetor. And be like, you know what, sweetie, I think you're right. That's the dream for me. That's what I want to get
You can do that.
I can. Yeah, I just have to get enough propaganda in her now.
Yeah, you'll get
Starting
there.
With IndyCar.
That's right. You got to lay the groundwork.
Yeah. And she's been there from the beginning with IndyCar. We actually took her to the Grand Prix. Not the race itself, but some of the pre-event press stuff when yep. we were doing some of the two-seater rides. She was like in the IndyCar trailer. She met Takuma Sato, who is great with babies, by the way. We have excellent photographic evidence of it. So she's been like in from the beginning.
That's
got her
cool.
got her cute little pink headphones out there. She's watching yeah. the cars go by. Oh, so yeah. it's my goal to like really keep that going for her.
Yeah, we she's do the we try to do only TV on the weekends. Mm. In case of, unless there's an emergency,
right.
as you said. And then you can break glass and behind it will be Daniel Tiger and mm-hmm. you're all good.
Right.
You can have 20 minutes while they watch that.
Yeah.
So we try to stick to just the weekend thing. And then like you, we try to go with the educational thing. Mm-hmm. And it's always like kid stuff anyway.
Right.
Even if it's not super educational, they're getting something out of it. Right. But I got to tell you, there's good shows, in my opinion, for them. And then there's ones that are just... I can't stand.
Like what?
Well, most of the PBS stuff I feel like is good.
Yeah.
I'm a big PBS guy. The Sesame Street, the Daniel Tiger, mm-hmm. Wild Kratts. Have you been in on that one yet?
No.
Wild Kratts is the shit.
Is that on PBS?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's PBS, but it's also on, I think, like Amazon Prime. A lot of the PBS okay. stuff you can find on other
yeah.
apps, even though it's like by
Sesame
PBS.
Street's on Hulu. That's where we watch it.
Sesame Street on... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they're also HBO, too, now.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You don't know this?
Is it like Sesame Street After Dark?
HBO came in and either bought Sesame Street or whatever, and this is like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, because I don't know. They just helped out because Sesame Street was going to go under or something like that, and HBO came in, and so they... It's the same show that it always was, and they still put it on PBS and whatever, but it's all being done by HBO now.
Wow.
Which is interesting.
Very interesting. But
it's kind of funny, though, because they did kind of adult it up a little bit. Like, they'll do spoofs on adult TV shows, but with Elmo and stuff.
Really?
And it's all funny still, and, like, for kids. It's not as if, you know, yeah. it's, like, all you know, like Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
they'll kind of do, like, a Game of Thrones riff, but, like, about... Elmo as Jon Snow and he won't like eat his vegetables or something like
That's
that.
That's awesome.
It's really cute.
We're stuck in 90s Sesame Street right now.
Oh,
we
really?
Started from the beginning.
Okay.
So it's like, you
okay.
know, they had plenty of material back then.
I think it's fine. Like, I can tell you that our boy, who's now 4, learned his alphabet faster than his sister is because of Sesame Street. So mm-hmm. the thing is with him right now, he's over Sesame Street because he's too old now.
Right.
So he doesn't want to watch Sesame Street. So a lot of times what we've been having to talk about in the last few weeks is that we're putting on things that he is going to enjoy that the girl might be a little young for still.
Yeah.
And so she's not getting the same like thing that he got. And so mm-hmm. she's a little behind where he was in terms of like letters and things like that.
Yeah.
She can do all the colors and everything. She does a lot, but numbers are fine. But like, anyway, I think Sesame Street helped him in all those kinds of ways.
Yeah.
The letter of the day.
Yeah.
They put up that big A on the screen, and mm-hmm. he recognizes it right away and always has. And
right.
so I think that stuff's fine. It's yeah. all just about it in moderation.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. And I think those they are tools if properly used.
Mm-hmm.
If they're crutches, you
yeah.
know, just to, like, plop your kid down and let you go, like, scroll your Instagram 10 feet away.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's not parenting.
Yeah.
So I think it is, it's absolutely, like you said, it's moderation, using it in a smart way, and preferably being right next to them, like, backing up what they're learning and,
right.
you know, just making sure that they're
you
into
know,
it.
And also for me, like, our boy now, he's, like I said, he's 4 and, well, 4 and a half, really. And he will play some games on an iPad that are, like you were saying, like the educational type stuff, like trace certain things or write letters now and like whatever. And I think it's also, look, iPads and all this technology is not going away.
No.
And they're going to need to know how to use it all.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can start using it intuitively from a super young age, it's going to be different than when I was 13 and my mom was going, now if you click and hold it down, you can drag something.
Right.
They already know how to do all this.
Yeah.
The kid, he grabs the iPad and he's like, you know, doing the pinch move to zoom in and zoom out.
Whoa.
And he's tracing things and he's tapping the screen and he's, you know, sending the games through all these different levels and whatever. And he's just doing it all intuitively.
Wow.
And we didn't ever sit with him and tell him how to play these games. And when I sit next to him and watch him do it, because that was kind of a conscious thing. I was like, I want to see if he can just kind of figure it out on his own.
Yeah.
And he does. And they do great with it. And it's wow. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
It's really
that's
cool.
That's super cool. And that's the thing. Like to your point, I think that's absolutely true. Like the technology is here and it's only going to get more innate to the lives of our children.
Yeah.
So you might as well at least let them know how to use it.
Sure.
Again, in moderation. And like Rosie's pretty much at that point too. She just started being able to like identify, okay, when the game is done talking about this one letter, a green arrow pops up in the bottom. If you push on that arrow one time, it goes to the next letter.
Yeah.
So she's already getting there and she's not even a year and a half old. And
it's
we're building
crazy.
That up. She's like, good job. There it is. You know, great.
It's crazy how fast they do it.
It's insane. So I'm totally okay with that. I think that that's totally valid. I think the issue, and again, this is where, like you said earlier, it's so hard not to judge.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, what I don't want is to be the people who have, like, you know, your son and your daughter at your restaurant. One's got the blue iPad. One's got the pink
yeah.
iPad. And they're just in the game while the parents are just getting some peace and quiet at dinner.
Yeah.
I get why people do that.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Yeah.
We've had a screaming baby in a restaurant. And we've had to break out, like, the Starfall for 15 minutes just to get her to calm down for a minute. But,
yeah.
like, once they're at the age where they can talk and engage and we can, like, color on the kids' menu
yep.
and play games together,
yep.
that's what I don't want going out to dinner to be an excuse to make them quiet.
Yeah.
I still want it to be family dinner.
Oh, for sure. I feel you on that.
So I don't want to get to that point where they each have their own iPad.
Yep.
Then again, who knows what's going to happen in 3 years?
I'll tell you, though.
That's where it's hard.
Look, I totally we're totally in agreement on this. I will tell you, though, that there's some of these restaurants, man, where, like, the food takes forever to come out.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, I can only talk about Wildcrats for so long.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm running out of stuff to talk about here, and I'm trying to keep their attention span. They've already colored all over the menu.
Mm-hmm.
The next one they're going to give you is the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
They're already bored with it. You know, they're too young to be doing the crossword.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, dude, can you get that grilled cheese out here
mm-hmm.
now? Because
yeah,
I'm running out of stuff to do.
I could have made that grilled cheese 10 minutes ago.
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard. Sometimes you have to pull the ripcord.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's what you're saying, and I think we're in agreement. Like, it's just about how often it is.
Right. And that you're not jumping to that as the first option.
Totally.
You know, it's absolutely the last
resort.
Try
to exhaust everything else first
right.
and then go to it.
And
yeah.
at least whatever they're getting entertained by is, like, maybe on your phone rather than, like, their own cute,
oh,
cuddly
totally.
Case, you know, with a handle on it
yeah.
so that they can schlep it around wherever they're going.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that that is valid. It's going to happen eventually at some point, but you just want to hold off as much as possible.
I think though that our generation is going to be better about this than even the generation of parents right before us, though, because like we were talking about last episode, it's like we kind of had more of this technology around, whereas like I feel like a past generation, it was like happening at while they were starting to parent or something,
right.
and so like. You didn't know all the consequences yet or
yeah.
whatever, or know the pitfalls or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that we're seeing it and sort of heading it off of the past a little more, because I know that a lot of my parent friends have these same conversations that we're having right
mm-hmm.
now. So I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think we're doing a good job at like moderation.
Yeah. Especially now. I think with all the stuff that's come out in the past couple of years of like app developers and people at Facebook and Apple saying like, we built this stuff to be as addictive as possible,
yep.
so we don't let our kids use it.
Yeah.
I think that's the age that we're in now, and I think it's our eyes are a lot more open to
it. Well, if we're mitigating the sugar, the actual sugar in their diet because we know what that does to their dopamine receptors. Mm-hmm. Well, then these iPads and all this technology is just sugar, right? So we should mitigate that too.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And we are the gatekeepers.
Right. It comes down to us.
It's up to us.
How much they complain about
it. Yeah, totally.
Half the trouble is just with how advanced the technology is. But
yeah,
you know what's not advanced technology?
What?
iPod Nanos.
What? Can we not make every episode about iPod Nanos?
We can stop talking about iPod Nanos as soon as I show you this iPod Nano.
Oh my God.
This little marvel of wonder and technology.
You've got to go to the video to see this. He just pulled it out.
I just pulled it out, as I often do.
He just pulled out his Nano.
Yep. Shut up, Brett! This has been in my car for about 10 years.
I can't believe you're holding that right now.
I'm never going
to
let this go.
You look like you're like Marty McFly, and you had to go back to the past and get that and then bring it here.
That's
how out of place that technology looks in your hand.
Yeah. It's honestly, this is the first time I've held it in probably 7 or 8 of those 10 years.
Oh, my God.
The battery is dead because it's been in a 100-degree car for 10 years.
Right.
But this is what I used before streaming services. When I got my brand new car, I loaded... This has 500 songs on it.
I can't believe you're holding that thing right now.
Dude, it's all coming back to me. I remember because it's got these 4 perfect finger grooves right here. And you can fit, it's like in your hand.
Look at that case.
It's great.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with 14-year-old you? Were you heading off to battle? That thing is bulletproof.
Exactly.
Look at that thing.
14-year-olds can't be trusted with iPod Nanos.
How afraid were you that you were going to drop that? Look at that.
As afraid as a 14-year-old with no money can be. Well, no, like 11-year-old.
That case makes that thing not a Nano.
No, not at all. It's like now an iPod Mini.
It's a full-size iPod.
Yeah, as far as that's concerned, absolutely. But
I can't believe you still have that.
But it was when it first came out, and it was so cool. It's even got, if you like pull this apart, it's got a plastic screen protector in front of it. Hey, man. This was the shiz.
Check this out, man. Look at what I've got over here.
I got compliments back in the day. This thing is where it was. And it. Sadly, I don't have it. But if you notice this little circle right here, this is where the holster protrusion extended from. It was a little circle that came out. And then you could just like snicked, just slide it.
Yeah, we went over right it last episode. We know.
That I had. And I think looking back on it, I think I might have broken that holster portion. That's why I took this guy out.
I wonder if we somehow fashioned something that you could clip that to your belt once again. Mm-hmm. And you could relive your glory days.
Yep. I would do it.
Of Nano on the belt.
Yep.
If we could then send you out in the world to different coffee shops and see how long it takes for someone to mention that Nano.
I think I would look like the coolest hipster in the universe.
See, that's what I'm saying. Because there is a world in which you go into the first place and someone goes, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Right? But then there's another world in which you just walk around for the next year without anyone saying anything because you can't judge anyone anymore. You can't shame anyone. Everything's like ironically cool now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what it would be.
I think it depends the coffee shop you go into.
Sure.
If you're going into Intelligentsia, then yes, you're going to get some compliments. Because as soon as, in the peripheral vision, if you see, rather than someone going like this, if you see someone going like that thumb action,
right,
going in a circle,
yeah,
you're just instantly transported to like 2005.
Yeah, but I don't want them to see you with it in your hand. I want them to see it on the belt.
Well, then, yeah, I guess.
In all of its glory.
I'd have to, like, really, like.
I want them to just see it hanging there as a piece of waist jewelry. W-A-I-S-T, jewelry. Not waist, like.
No,
as
it's
if
not
it's,
a waist
no,
at all.
It's not a waist product. No, no.
No, this is gold.
Man.
I wonder what's still on this. Oh, if we had an old iPod charger, I would plug it in and I would tell you what's on my iPod.
I think we probably do. We probably do around this studio somewhere.
If we do, then
we've got to let it charge up.
We might have to wait till next week when I read up. It'll be a 3-part series of my iPod Nano, talking about it, showing it.
But why is it still in your car?
Because I before streaming services, I loaded a bunch of songs that I loved at the time onto it, and it's got the USB interface.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's in my center console. This was what I used to listen to
music. So if you keep it plugged in, it'll work.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I actually have like a, oh my gosh.
Oh, we got the charger.
Oh, we got the charger.
Oh, we got all the right. charger. Plug
Let's
it in.
See if it even. Oh man.
See if this bad boy fires up.
Because what I actually currently have in my car is another iPod Nano, but like the new iPod Nano that that does video and stuff. That's like kind of elongated.
Uh-huh,
it's only like 6 years old rather than 12 years old.
Do they even sell iPods anymore?
Oh, the Apple's on. I feel like they have to at least sell like shuffles or something, like those little micro.
Yeah.
And iPod Touches. I'm sure they sell iPod
Touches. The iPod Touches still around?
I'm sure. For kids who like don't like their parents don't want to give them like a cell phone,
right?
They still want to, you know,
right?
Have some... Whoa, it's on!
That was fast.
That was so fast.
All right, what's the first? What's first on the list?
Okay, so I go into music. Oh no, is my click button not working? Okay, so should I do artists, albums, or songs?
I wish you had playlists because I would love to hear the titles of those playlists.
Oh, I have Camaro, which is my car, and sleep. Those are the two things that matter to me.
That's it. All right, hit me with the artists.
All right, so artists, let me click multiple buttons to get back out to artists. Number one is Acoustic Spoken Groove.
Oh, yeah.
Which is exactly what it sounds like.
It's got to be on the sleep playlist.
Yeah, exactly. But next, I'm more proud of this. Next down is All American Rejects.
Okay.
That was classic for that era. If you didn't listen to All American Rejects, you were a dumb dumb.
Sure.
Let's see, we got Amber Lynn. One of my favorites, The Beatles.
Okay,
I want to see what I actually have from The Beatles. It's probably one song.
Let me guess. It's oh man,
it is one song. I'll tell you, it's one song.
One song.
I have one song by The Beatles. It was probably during. I'll tell you, it's probably during my kind of emo phase.
Oh, kind of emo Beatles.
Like just like just somber sort of.
A Day in the Life.
No. I guess it's not really emo.
Come
it's
Together?
Just, no, it's not. It's not like a rock song. That's what, it was more my like chill. It was it's acoustic. There's your clue.
Across the Universe?
No.
Wait, acoustic?
Yeah.
Oh, Blackbird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Good old Blackbird.
All right.
Breaking Benjamin was a big one. Chris Cornell, Coheed and Cambria. That was one.
I don't even know that.
Oh, dude, Welcome Home from Rock Band. That's how I got. That was my favorite song on Rock Band to play.
He's talking about Rock Band.
Come
and
on,
an iPod Nano.
This is the greatest. Daft Punk, Death Cab for Cutie, Flyleaf, The Fray. They were number one on my sleep
the
playlist.
Fray,
the
yeah.
Fray,
The Fray.
Yes. All the songs on the end of The Fray albums were where it was at. Gorillaz, Hollywood Undead, Incubus, Ingrid Michaelson.
Incubus. Incubus to me has not aged well.
I don't know if they've released anything.
Well, I just mean, as I get older, I even look back on the songs that were hits, and I go, meh.
That's
not,
true.
Not great.
Yeah. When they come on the radio, I'm like,
yeah, I'm over this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got some John Mayer. Because
oh,
I
you got
to
have John Mayer.
You can't.
Hold on. Let me get, how many John Mayer songs?
I think I only actually have Battle Studies. Oh, literally Heartbreak Warfare.
That's
the
it?
The one song that I have.
Perfect.
That's disappointing, actually. I thought I had more than that.
You got to get Bodies in Wonderland on there. It's the classic.
Now that is good.
Come on.
Yeah, it's on my playlist now that I stream. But I had 500 songs. My options were limited.
Wow.
Most of these are probably just artists with one song so that I could have it. So Kanye West.
I have to admit something to you, Nathan. I have to admit something to you.
What?
My first ever iPod was an iPod. It was the big one. It was like the brick looking one, but it did video. It was the first generation that did video.
Yeah.
And it's currently plugged in my car. In the parking lot.
Why do you make me sound like an idiot?
Because it's
hypocrite.
Easy.
Hypocrite! Oh, it's easy. Great.
Because it was easy.
It's easy to make Nathan
sound. I don't
sound
think
like
mine will turn on, though. I don't think it'll turn on. It turned on when I first got the car, but I've had the car for about like 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still plugged in there, but I don't think it'll turn on. I think even if we plugged it in, it wouldn't turn on.
I think that's just something that we're going to have to experiment
but
with.
It definitely has an episode of The Office on it because you got that free. With the iPod video.
Wow.
They gave you one free episode of The Office. It's the episode where Michael Scott gives The Office iPods.
Well, there it is.
Some sort of insider deal.
We're going to pull it up next week, and we're going to plug that iPod in, and we're going to play some audio from that episode of The Office.
Yeah. I think we covered everything for this episode.
I don't think we covered anything.
I think we covered everything.